like to say grace and peace to the congregation this morning, as well as those who may be watching this webcast from wherever you are on the globe. We thank God for His magnificent works, and we thank Him that He has given us the enlightenment and comprehension of His works. That which He accomplished in eternity is put on display for creatures, undeserving creatures, I should say, like us. And so we are certainly delighted this morning to be among those who will hear such glorious truth from wherever this gospel is preached. The mystery. Everybody say the mystery. Around the globe. Whoever may be conveying these blessed words of truth, we say amen. Now, we taken an extended hiatus, and now we're back this morning. Amen. And we are thanking God for the ministry. Amen. Those ministers that certainly fed our hearts for the last 2.5 months. Didn't they feed our hearts? Amen. Give the Lord a praise for them. Hallelujah. 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 So now, we move back into our dissertation and discourse. And I know everyone remembered to bring your document. If not, there should be some excerpts back on the back table. Raise your hands and the ushers shall get you one. However, and hopefully you remember the document that we have been ministering from. Amen. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix.
The matrix.
Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1.
Right.
Now, what we will do this morning is this will be a a re-entry into our prolegomenon, introduction, a preamble of that which we have embarked upon, and this is about the 27th to 28th message into this document. Take your document and let's recapitulate some things. Go to our glossary of definitions. Now here to just break down for those that are watching, amen, this document, it's readily available on our website. If you write the church, we will be glad to send it to you, but you can go on the website in the either the webcast or the audio section, and there's an icon and you can click on it and this document comes up. It's some 60 pages. Amen. And a little cover like this will come up. Amen. And that is the document. Scripture comprehension, the measures, the matrix. Now we had moved down to around page 20 or 21. This morning, as I said, we are going to do a little reiterating of things that we have gone through because we have been away from this a couple of months or so. In our glossary of definitions, Brother Deacon, as I call them, you read them. Actualization. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Actualization is God saying to generate realness, reality, or to produce into action or provide factually.
That which is there, not imagined, not illusion. Actualization. The second one, actualization. I'm sorry, actuation.
Actuation. To produce, incite, or move into action. Start a process, incite, or motivate.
And that's the one that gets us in trouble. When did this thing originate? The moment you saw it, the moment you knew it, or was it there beforehand? Let's move down to the word cognitive.
Cognitive, process of acquiring knowledge by reason, intuition, or thought perception.
You stay away from that one. Amen. You let God's word, as he said in the Old Testament, be a what? Lamp unto your feet and what? Light unto your pathway. In fact, we don't know anything except what God has been pleased to reveal unto us. The next one is conception.
Conception, origination or beginning, that is, act or power of forming an idea or substance.
Realize here that it's an abstract thing. It's not concrete. It's not something you reach out and touch. We view things according to the materiality of them. And materially, those things that we see or think we see are manifestations. We'll deal with that word as we go down. The next one, and this is one that should be working knowledge of all of God's people. Decree. Everybody said decree.
Decree. To command, ordain, an order having the force of law or principle, such as a formal and authoritative order.
Now that one we have to actually put an adjective in front of and say God's decree. There are many men over the times of and the ages have given edicts and decrees and they were worthless. And if we take that word and we just throw it out there in a general sense, it will not have the force and impact that it should have. God's decree. When men say things, they're saying things that may or may not manifest. When God says it, it's ontologism. Ontologism is there too. We'll get to that, not today. But it is what brings it into being. God speaking it brings it into being. And the manifestation of it is a testimony. In fact, it doesn't even have to manifest. If God said it, it exists. The next word is eternality.
Eternality, the spiritual sphere or locale of where all are complete in perfection.
Everyone say eternality.
Eternality.
That's the essence of where everything actually resides. As we said in the conference, there are no sequences, past, present, future. Things just are, based on the fact that God decreed it. He said it. And that's how it exists. And that's actually where and how everything exists. We are writing a book. I'm going to hold it for a year or two. It is called Eternity, When and Where God Saved. We will teach in the essence of salvation being an eternal act and the venue of salvation is in eternity and not time. And we will release the book afterwards. If you remember, in a couple of conferences we had two conferences dealing with the fact that salvation is an eternal entity. You were saved before, you were in the body of Christ before we ever put you into these bodies. So eternality is where everything is at nothing, as we shall look at this term matrix next. Nothing exists in time or in the matrix. Before we go to the word matrix, let's go to use the word grid.
Grid, a network system of associations of groups arranged for representations.
Yes, just showing things, depicting things. Amen. That's actually the medium of the matrix. Everybody say the matrix. Say, Pastor, why are we going through all this? It's because you got to know the difference between real and fake.
Come on, yeah. Come on.
False and true.
That's right. Amen.
What is versus what you think it is. The difference between what is the same, God's same, versus what you think it is what we see. And when we look into the matrix, we see different things. What is the matrix?
Matrix, visual representation or indications in grids and or patterns of measurements for testimonial documentations only.
They got these grids here and they're representing things and they're telling a story. And of course, everything is light. Everything is light. The last one here is manifestation. There are others, but we're going to move on into the it's going to, like I said, it's going to be a long prolegomenon this morning, long introduction. Amen. Manifestation. Everybody said manifestation. Pastor, this is like a Bible class. Then we're in Bible class this morning. Read.
Manifestation, or the seeing, the outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization.
All things look in front of us, you know what we call the real deal. The matrix is not the real deal. Everything resides in eternity. The matrix is only the representation and visualizations of things that are brought forth in depictions through light. Let's turn to, take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, well, no, let's just take the time. Read both the King James and then, because that, you know, someone out there may not have the Greek interlineal. And then we'll follow it up with the Greek text. Everyone that has 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, say amen.
We're reading from the book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, beginning verse 14, King James Version. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Verse 16,
who only hath immortality dwelling in the light.
We'll come back, we'll straighten that up. Keep reading.
Which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
All right. Let's go now to the, for those that may be watching and have not been following us, we utilize the Greek interlineal there. He has the Greek, and right under it there is the English for word under the Greek, and of course, amen, we still exegete, but at least in the interlineal, he has to put some little footnote there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the liberty as the King James to just, you know, go off on a tangent of maybe inserting some words in there, mm-hmm. Doing some editing and editorializing of those things that may not be there, but that was supposedly put there for clarity's sake, but really ends up muddying the waters.
All right.
So we go through this meticulously, and amen, for the sake of first getting the utterance of what is said. I'm not about to be able to stand here and explicate something or explain something that I haven't gotten the correct utterance of. That's the first job in Bible study. Bible study is not reading commentary, Bible commentaries, of what someone else is saying. It is the essence of going into the scriptures. Of course, here again at the Grace Gospel Ministry, we utilize the threefold methods. What are they?
Historical,
that makes, first of all, you're into the right gospel, and of course our gospel is grace. Our covenant is what? The grace covenant. Amen. And then the next one is what?
Contextual.
That's the one my pastor used to really beat me up. You can go up a few verses, down a few verses, make sure that you're not walking into the middle of a conversation without any idea of what is being conveyed. Like you walk into the middle of a conversation and you hear one sentence and you jump on that, and those in that conversing would turn to you and said, that's not what we're talking about. You didn't get the context. And then the last one is what?
Grammatical.
The New Testament, what they call the New Testament, what is written from the Matthew through Revelation is in the Greek. There was no English. As we speak it today, in the first century, when these manuscripts were written, the translations came forth from translators. Some of them Greek scholars, some of them not. Some of them Greek scholars, they ignored the grammar. or whatever, to align with whoever had commissioned them to write it. Amen. And this is why someone asked me one time, they said, well, which translation do you use? I said, all of them. Which one do you depend upon? I said, none of them. And that goes the same thing with the manuscripts. Whether it's the Textus Receptus, or whether it's the majority text, or whether it's the critical text, and whatever documents we're reading from, we're going to take these three aspects of scrutiny, and as the pastor used to say, you get those three to align, then you have a pretty good idea that you got the right utterance. I said all of this for those who are basically watching. Most of us here know why we do it. All right? Deacon, everybody look at from the Greek interlineal. Verse 14.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, Greek interlineal text. To keep the commandment unspotted, without reproach.
Basically, he's speaking of a specific message here. What is our covenant?
Grace.
The grace covenant. What is our gospel? The gospel of grace.
Yes.
If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants,
yes,
you're going to be confused. And instead of going in the Bible and being comforted, you will go in there and be confused because you're amalgamating everything. You're mixing it up and trying to blend it.
Yes.
No, the Bible does not contradict itself. You must divide it according to dispensations and covenants. All right, read.
Without reproach until the appearance of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which in his own time will show the blessed and only potentate, the King of the reigning and Lord of the ruling.
Amen. And there's nothing that brings out the power and majesty of our Lord except when you get this thing straight. You thought you knew his omnipotency until you actually, through the gospel of grace, see the essence of him back in eternity before time. Oh my God, hallelujah. Having placed you in the body of Christ, now you really see his power. That it stretches beyond the things that we see, the things that we feel, the things that we think. Oh my God, God is bigger than all of that and all of us. Read.
Verse 16. The only having immortality.
Let's stop. Stop. I think we dealt with that before. If you have something in the accusative case, what is it, Brother Deacon?
It's
an object. And so, for force or light to be the object, it cannot be something that he's dwelling in. An object is something that something is being thrust from to.
Amen.
Light. How can he dwell in that which he is? So here he possesses light.
He cannot dwell in that which he is. And the light must come from him. In John it says, the light went forth and the darkness could not comprehend it. Oh my God. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon.
Glory.
Oh, look at that clock.
Mm-hmm. Unapproachable, light inhabiting, unapproachable, whom saw no one of men, nor to see can.
Can
to and might eternal.
So the essence.
To whom honor and might eternal.
Of what is has to be extracted from eternality. Not from time. Not from the matrix. Not from representation. What we call life are only grids. Amen. That the light is projected into. That's the matrix. Amen. It is there to explain something. It is there, amen, to testify and depict something. It doesn't mean it is something. It is a representation of something. Now it becomes a very daunting task. Because many of God's people have gotten used to dwelling on the horizontal plane.
Right, right.
And we see things as they happen, or we think we see it happen. And this is what confuses us.
Right.
This is what makes life so complex. This is what frightens us to death.
Yeah.
What we call life is not life. Your life is in Christ. This is too quick to be life. If you're going to call life existence. What exists remains. I said it again. Whatever exists remains. If it exists, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. It doesn't move with the wind. The essence of your life is eternally linked in Christ. Your existence is in Christ. Not in the annals of, what do you call it, brother? Sequential incremental depictions. Past, present, future, then it starts off that the future becomes what? The present, and then the present becomes the past. Then the past is past.
Oh,
you know, when the God's people basket cases.
Oh,
we've been taught and we've looked at this thing wrong. God has not created the world, and now he said let's see what you guys are going to do with it. He never left anything up to Israel.
Come on.
I mean, in the wilderness. Even the simple thing as to when to move and when not to.
That's right.
They had a pillar of using corroboration now. They had a pillar of cloud by day. And they had a pillar of fire by night. And when the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire move, they move. You know why? Because God didn't trust them to move on their own. You're not on your own.
No.
The essence of the light is there to teach us something. You're just a little dot on a planet. And that planet is a dot in the solar system.
I hear you.
And that solar system is a dot in the Milky Way. And the Milky Way, that's the galaxy we're in. It's just a dot in the universe. And then the universe is just a dot in God. So how big is God in comparison to how small are we? Oh my God. The matrix is there to show us how great God is. That He controls all things. Light. And so everything that we see and everything that we think is materialized. Listen, that ain't real. Light goes to energy. Then energy goes to vapor. Vapor to gas. Gas to liquids. And that's how you end up with this podium being solid. All coming from light. Because it can reverse. This podium, if you heat it up enough, you can liquefy it. If you keep on heating it, it turns to gas. Keep on heating it, it's to vapor. And then it nuclear fission into energy. Oh my God. Where does the energy come from? Light. Where does the light come from? God. So we should always be focusing on Him. Was that just delivered me? You said some years ago. And we have adopted it. Because you didn't put in the copyright on it at the time. It's all, everybody says, all about Him.
All about Him.
Not only about Him, it's all about Him. Paul wrote one time, my life is Christ. Christ is my life. The essence of your existence is in God. Not you. You're not about to enjoy life focusing on yourself. So now this exercise here and of the matrix from the scriptures, understanding what's there and what it is for, amen, is to let you know that there's really nothing there. It's nothing there. It's representations. And it's quick. It's not anything within itself. And so from that, we get what we have adopted around here, and repeat after me, it is not in the seeing.
It is not in the seeing.
It is in what God has said. That's the only way it exists. Now, we'll come back to some of the definitions. The time clock is just moving. I don't know. I guess things are the same. I won't get my 2 hours right. Love those looks. Just kidding. Let's go to the introduction again. Again, as I say, we are basically reintroducing because we've been away from this a couple of months. Again, those of you watching via the webcast, click on the little icon there and this document we brought up. Introduction. You got that? Amen. Amen. Scripture illuminations. Everybody got where I am? Scripture illuminations reveal that all things exist through them having come into being in God's declarations. His saying, Hebrew 11 and 3, everything, ages, everything, the events,
everything, creatures, came into existence through one thing in eternity. Now you must take that ingression and understanding in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which states that all things were created. You know, we're not going to get that far in the way today. We probably have to do two preambles. Amen. One this week, part one, and part two. You're not going to rush through this, because too many of God's people are confused. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 16. Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, let's go straight to the Greek. And if you don't have the Greek, follow along in your King James. It's pretty close. All right, Brother Deacon, everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Read. Call your scripture.
Now we're reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning verse 16, interlineal Greek text. Because in him were created...
Stop. Now you know why he had to go this route, rather than the King James, because here he's got the English words right under the Greek, and the Greek reads "Oti in afto estisi," which, when you look here at the word "in" rather than "by," you got "ipsilonni," which is "in." It's a difference between something being construed with the preposition by, because that could represent something that is remote, versus in. And here we have the dative case there, right? And so it would be locative, wouldn't it? In the sphere of. So it is in him. All things, the creation, has to be in him, because there's nowhere else it could be. Nothing can be out of him, because the essence of life is him. The essence of existence is him. And if there's anything that's occurring and happening, it has to be in him. It can't be out of him.
In him, yes. Amen.
And sometimes people say, you know, that happened. God had nothing to do with that. Just as crazy as you can be. Can the creature operate independently of the Creator?
No, no way. No.
Can creation do anything, have anything, be anything outside of the Creator? Obvious answer is no. And we have to get that part straight, because otherwise we're not giving God his dues. We're saying some things are happening out here, and then see, the Orthodox traditional denominations, they got real upset with the process theists and the open theists. And that's those that were ascribing that there are some things out there that God hasn't gotten a handle on yet. But you know where it starts? It starts with what? Syllogism. What is syllogism? That's where you think that God's got a part, you got a part, you put them together, and now you got something working.
nothing without him, I should say. There's nothing. And in him, there's everything. That's what this is saying. All right, finish that up, Brother Deacon. And I see you in give me about 15 minutes. I'm going to wrap this thing up today. And amen. We'll come out firing on all cylinders next week. How about that?
Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth. The visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or lordships or rulers.
Now stop. Now there is some contention there. Here you have the Greek word there, ake, which root is aki, which is the same word that John uses in John chapter 1 when he speaks about the beginning. So that word could be either one. All right. That won't cost you anything. I just threw that in there. Keep reading.
Or authorities. All things through him and for him have been created.
All right. There are three things in that verse that we must understand. First one is in him. The next one is what? Through him. And the last one is what? For him. Let's go through that again. In him.
In him.
Through him.
Through him.
For him.
For him.
Once again. In him.
In him.
Through him.
Through him.
For him.
For him.
Now, did it speak about anything, anyone else?
No.
Do you see anything in there about us?
No.
You can't, because of the venue of where all of this is occurring. It's in eternality. Before time. Your life is not about you.
Amen.
You know, we like to think about our goals. And I'm not saying, you can have some goals. You know, sometimes we plan certain things and they go the opposite way.
Right.
And we get all journeyed out of shape. We said, well, this was an accident and this wasn't supposed to be. Then how did it get there? If it's in him, through him, and for him, how did it get there? Now what we're saying is it didn't align up with our plans. And see, we think we have agendas. We don't have agenda. God has the agenda. We have imagined itineraries. God said, well, I'm going over here. I'm going to do this and that and the other. That's your plan. Amen. It's good to have some plans. But it's better to know that God has the plan.
The plan. I hear you. Come on here. Yeah.
When we pray, as someone asked in the Bible study, if God's going to do this thing and has already done this thing, then why should we pray? When I hear that question, I immediately go to the definition of prayer. What's that? 2 Timothy 2 and 1? Or 1 Timothy 2 and 4? 1 through 4. Which, by the way, for those that are listening or looking, website that's in our link section, Doctrinal Discourses, where we have exegeted, comprehensive exegesis of that verse. We don't have time to go there, Brother Deacon. What is prayer? Prayer is privileged communication with God. Listen to me. It's talking to God. So know what we're asking. Why should we talk to God if he's already done everything? Because he has given you the privilege. That's like saying, why breathe? I mean, since he has given us the breath to breathe anyway, why should we breathe if we just don't cooperate? You know. There are four parts of prayer.
first one is thanksgiving. And that's the way you should start off a prayer. How many of us start off a prayer with thanksgiving? And then praise. Now you can get to petition, which is construed as prayer. Simply because some people don't talk to God until they need something or want something. Or think they need something. Otherwise, I don't have to talk to him. I'll do it myself. Then when you find out you can't do it yourself, now I'm going to talk to him and ask God to do what I want to do. You see, faith is not trusting God to do what you want. Faith is trusting God in what he has already done. That's what faith is. Confidence in him. And then the last one, which some of the translations translate intercessions, and in some ministries, and I know I'm going to bump heads with someone, but hey, we got to tell it like it is, have what they call prayer intercessory teams. Well, what's wrong with praying for someone else? That's fine, but that's not what it means in that verse. And then you're in trouble. That person's in trouble if you believe what's in Romans chapter 8 when it says that we don't know what to pray for. Do you want somebody praying for you that don't know what to pray for? Well, you're still safe. Because it says what? The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit intercedes for us. That's the only time that word, amen, is genuinely utilized when it says the Spirit intercedes. That means somebody's doing something on your behalf that you can't do. So yeah, pray for me, pray for this. But amen, oh thank God that the Spirit is there covering your prayer. So that's what prayer is. Put all things in him. Let's go back up into our introduction. Maybe I'll finish that one or maybe two paragraphs. And then like I say, I'll come out the gate firing on all cylinders next week. You know, y'all like to see some fiery stuff. This is Bible class. Oh, it puts you to sleep. No, this is good stuff. But this is going to keep you out of trouble. You know the old adage, what you don't know won't hurt you. That's the biggest lie that someone ever fabricated. What you don't know can be lethal. Ignorance is dangerous. Lack of knowledge, amen, can destroy you. No. Let's look back at our document here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, now that we understand that, distinguishes the testimony, a revelation of how things are identified according to what they are. Nothing is within itself. We should never ask, what is that? What should we ask? What is this for? What is God's purpose? Because God's purpose for it basically is what gives the entrance of why it's there and what it is. What it is. What is it? It's what God has decreed and placed it there for. I wanted to do this, and man, I thought I was going to be here and end up there. I was telling someone, and I won't go through this, some things that I had planned in my life. Detroit wasn't on my itinerary. Even though I married a Detroit beautiful young lady. Detroit was not on my itinerary. I wasn't supposed to be in Detroit in 67. According to my plans, I was supposed to be somewhere else. In fact, there are two other places. The first, I didn't know where I was going to be because I would have been in the military. That was my plan. But that was not the plan. Then I was supposed to be in another state. But that was my plan. That was not the plan. We get frustrated. We become prolonged. Because things around us, they're moving in the opposite direction. Listen, you're not going anywhere except where God has decreed you go. And if you're there, you're there because that's where God puts you. And He placed you there by decree before you ever manifest it. And the manifestation has to follow the decree. I lost my job. I lost my house. Man, if I had just done this and not that. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. What's supposed to happen that way? How did it happen? God wouldn't do that. Well, who did it? The devil? Now we now. Orthodox Christendom is down on the process and open theists because they say that God doesn't have a handle on everything in the universe yet. Well, look at what Orthodox teaches. What you do determines where you are. God is just there. Come along for the ride to kind of help you out. You know, when I was coming up, they used to say, "Step, you make one step, God make two." So you made more steps than God. And He only made His step one after you made your two. No wonder we're basket cases. Let's wrap this up. Like I said, I'll come out the gate firing this, all cylinders next week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 distinguishes the testimony of revelation of how things are identified and what are. Manifestation formats. Everybody said manifestation formats. Of physicality and secularity are displayed and measures on the matrix. This is what we're saying. It entails grids or mats. Now, the comprehensions of this conception scripturally consent to vertical viewing in the spiritual realm over the horizontal view on the horizontal plane or circle. So now, we're looking down on life from eternity instead of around in life in time. I think I'll repeat that again. We're looking down on life from eternity instead of looking around on around in life in time.
Amen.
Do we trust God? That's the problem. So this is what we're saying here. And in other words, disadvantage and Abel's looking down on life instead of around in life. Everybody look down at the paper. Take this with you. fact, repeat after me, looking down on life, instead of around in life. The scriptures are replete. They're impregnated. They're running over with revelations of what things actually are in purpose, which define what they are in God's design as compared to what they portray in their functions. In this sense, and we end here today, the scripturally appropriate question when viewing things in life is what? What are things for instead of what are they? Hence, things are never assessed or should never be assessed. They're not properly assessed in terms of appearance, but in their design purpose. Everybody said purpose. So now, as I said, that last descriptive entity in that verse concerning prayer does not mean to intercede or intercession. It means to align. To align with what?
His will.
With God's will. Align with His purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Operate within His comportments, or His means and His methods. In other words, we operate in God's program. Do you know that you operate, you move, you live, you breathe in Him? Hmm? That's what Paul told those Athenians on Mars Hill in Acts. In Him we do what? We live. In Him we do what? We move. In Him what?
We are.
In Him.
Glory.
Everybody say in Him.
In Him.
All right, I'm going to quit today. And we'll come out next week. Firing on all cylinders. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Give God a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.